Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Today's reading comes from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 14. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Chloe. And once again, I'd just like to extend my welcome to everyone here today, particularly if you're a visitor. And look, you may be aware that our senior pastor, Jonathan Davies, is not here today. He and a few other blokes are climbing up in the mountains in the high country of Victoria. I don't know how the weather's going for him at the moment, but probably snowing and sleet, but I'm sure Jonathan's just going to plough through because he comes from Tasmania and they're tough over there, let's face it. But look, we're, as you may have been able to work out from the songs that were sung today and the Bible reading that Chloe brought to us, a bit of a theme on love. I don't know if you picked it up, but it's subtle, but it's there, a theme on love. And last week, Jonathan shared a great word with us on loving our enemies. Powerful word, confronting word. And you always know that something significant's happened because when I was coming in last week with the second service, I met some people from the first service. He said to me, "Oh, Mark," he said, "oh, strong word today. So I knew that something significant was there. We're going to continue that with this today's message on love, which is coming from 1 John chapter 4. So if you have access to a Bible, whether it be in print form or electronic form, you might want to do that now as I just lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together will be acceptable in your sight, that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us and lead us into all truth and understanding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the scriptures that Chloe read to us, for some of us, are quite well known. And one of the dangers, I suppose, is if you've heard scriptures many times before, is that we can become a little bit, dare I say it, a little bit complacent, a little bit deadened to what the Spirit of God might want to say. So, hence I always pray that the Spirit of God will lead us into truth and understanding. So, he who has ears today, let us all hear. Amen. Thank you for that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. First of all, the Bible very clearly teaches that God is love. Have a look with me at this very well known and rich verses. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, not only has God got the attribute of being loving, like he's got the attribute of being kind and merciful, but God in his very nature is love. Love has not appeared in this world by some sort of evolutionary process whereby people have sort of changed over millions of years apparently and somehow or other have got this characteristic of being loving. That just hasn't been invented or come about just by pure chance and time. It's actually come about because God is the source of love. God is actually the source of love. So whenever you see love being demonstrated or love in action, That's actually where God is. It hasn't been something that people have invented. Love is not the... We don't have a monopoly on love, by the way. Because God is far bigger than what we think. And whenever you see a person being loving, whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian, that love, they just haven't invented that. That just hasn't come out of thin air. It's because God is a God of love. And God's in the world. He's the creator. So God is the source of love. The Bible also has something interesting to say about God. The Bible also says that God is light. You know, some years ago, it was very popular to have bumper stickers on cars. Now, I don't know what's happened about that. I don't know whether the industry has died. But anyway, you don't see bumper stickers on cars much. But sometimes you'd see it and you'd have churches would have these big signs up saying, God is love. Pretty attractive draw card to come into church. But the Bible also teaches that God is light. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 25, we read this. This is a message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, I haven't seen that phrase, God is light, too often on bumper stickers or Facebook pages or electronic boards or whatever it might be. But in actual fact, to understand the depth of God's love, we also need to understand that God is also light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So light speaks of purity and light speaks of holiness. And that's the very nature of God. God cannot tolerate darkness. People sometimes say to me, well, Mark, if God is a loving God, what's the big fuss about sin? Why can't God just sort of turn the blind eye and just sort of sweep the sin problem under the carpet and everyone will be sweet? Everything will be rosy and the whole world will be a friendly, happy place. But God is light. He is holy. He is just. And he can't tolerate sin. And you have to understand that the love of God and the holiness of God are two sides of the one coin. And it's only when we realise that God is holy and can't tolerate sin that we understand perhaps in a slightly more significant way how loving God is and how the fact that sin is a major problem and a major difficulty and a major calamity upon this world and something drastic had to be done about the sin problem. God just couldn't sweep it under the carpet. And the God of love and the God of light met in the one place on the cross at Easter just a few weeks ago that we talk about. Amen. That's where you see the love of God being demonstrated, because God's love is not some sentimental, wishy-washy sort of love. It's a profound, transforming, life-changing, incredible love that once you receive it, you're never the same again. That's the love of God. And that love comes from God. God is love. In the book of Genesis, we read... some well-known verses once again. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we're created in the image of God. But God is love. So we're created in God's image. So we are naturally structured to love. That's why when you're in a group of people and there's a real sense of community and there's love in action, that's why, to be honest, folks, it feels so good. It feels so right. Because we are structured to be loving and to love other people. That's the natural order of things. That's how we're hardwired. That's, if you like, to use an IT example, that's what the factory settings are. You've ever had some electronic device and you mucked around with so much. And in the end, you're supposed to restore the factory settings because you've polluted it, you've done something to it. You have to restore the factory settings. Well, the factory settings of you and I is that we are naturally structured to be loved and to love because God is love. And we are made in the image of God. We're hardwired to love. So if I ask the question, is it easier to hate or to love? What's easier? There's always a bit of a stillness that comes over a crowd of people when they ask that. Well, folks, my premise is, and I think this is the truth of the gospel, is that because God is a God of love and we're made in the image of God, it is actually more natural for us to love than to hate. That's the order of things. That's how we're hardwired. God is the God of love. He's the source of love. In that reading up there in Genesis 1, verse 27, the preceding verse, which I've got to say, it's a revelation, is verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. I know it's a radical thing, but that's what it is. Genesis 1, verse 26 says, let us make man in our own image. It's a plural, because we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our own image. Now, folks, I've got to tell you, and I think this is something that's really pretty profound, is that in the Trinity, we see love in action. Because if we say God is love, and yet we don't see any action, well, what are we really talking about? Love shows itself in action. In the Trinity, we see the Father loving the Son loving the Father and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit giving glory to the Father and the Son. As an example, when Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in the River Jordan, and John baptized him, this voice from heaven came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What a fantastic thing to hear. The Father loving the Son. God is love, and the Father loves the Son. And the Son gives glory to the Father and is obedient to the Father. And the Spirit reveals the love of the Father and the Son to each one of us. So in the Trinity, we see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit all loving each other in a loving community. I don't think we've really understood. I don't think I've really understood the depth of what that means. And folks, can I just say that in terms of Christian understanding, I don't believe that you have a situation where, if you like, there's a certain amount that you're going to receive in Revelation. And some of you may have been coming to this place for a very long time. And maybe you think, well, I'm about the 95th percentile here, and I reckon by the end of the year I might have this thing tapped. You know, I don't think that's the case. Because you're never going to get to the bottom of the love of God. Because God's love is the height and the depth and the breadth is so amazing, you're never going to get to the bottom of it. His love is so profound, so immense, so overwhelming. It's a lifelong adventure to understand the love of God. I've been working at it for about 40 years, and I'm just starting to get the hang of it. I've got a long way to go. Because God's love is so incredible. Because God is love. He's a source of love. So I'm going to continue to explore more what it means to understand the love of God. Because that's who He is. And that's how I'm hardwired. To know His love and to share His love. Because God is love. Well, I mentioned before about love needs to be in action. My second point today is that God demonstrates His love. He demonstrates His love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And that's why the understanding of God being light and God being love is so important. Because Jesus had to be the atoning sacrifice. Something incredible had to happen to deal with the sin problem. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. That's what was going on the cross. That's what we spend so much time talking about this. And you can never get past that because it's so incredible and so life-transforming that God the Father made Jesus, the sinless sacrifice, to be sin for us so that He could deal with the fact that He is light and there is no darkness at all. God turned the sin problem in upon Himself. Jesus became the atoning sacrifice for our sin. It's because of what Jesus has done that we can know the freedom and the liberty of being able to be a child of God, as we sang earlier today. God demonstrates His love to us. He sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Not just a theoretical sin, but my rebellion and my failings and my faults were put upon that cross upon Jesus. That your problems, your deficiencies, your fears, the things that would grip hold of you and drag you down, Jesus put upon himself on the cross. And that's why when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it was actually the most magnificent, victorious cry ever uttered in the history of this world, because all that had to be done to deal with the sin problem had been done in Jesus. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. That's how God demonstrates his love for us. Amen? Amen. This is not a theoretical doctrinal exercise. This is liberty and life and truth. This is what God has done in his son Jesus. He has demonstrated his love for us. Cool. So in Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, we read this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God, and whenever you see a but in the Bible, get excited. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is good news, folks. God has not waited for us to reach some sort of level of spirituality. We were opposed to God. We were heading off in our own direction, wanting to do our own thing. And God is intervening into this world through his son Jesus, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He has demonstrated his love for us. You know, some years ago, my wife Jo and I used to lead some young people's groups in different places. And one of the advantages of that was that those young folks, some of them form relationships and end up getting married. And at times I was asked to preach at weddings. I didn't actually marry anyone, haven't got a license for that, but I preached a number of sermons at weddings. And I was preparing for one particular wedding and decided to preach on love, which I know is just an outrageous thing to do, but I thought that that might be an appropriate topic. And I came across this quote that talked about three types of love. And it's relevant for us today. There was love if, love because, and love full stop. Three types of love. Now, love if, I think you can see pretty clearly, is a very conditional sort of love. So in the context of a couple, it can be very manipulative. Person can say, "I will love you," particularly a bloke, "I will love you if you have sex with me." A very conditional sort of love. And so you can see through the love if, and it's a very shallow, conditional sort of love. But the other one is love because, and it sounds a little bit more plausible. "I love you because you are beautiful." I'm not trying to look at anyone when I say that, because my wife was at the first service, but so just a general sort of looking around. "I will love you. I love you because you're beautiful. I love you because you have a lot of money. I love you because you are a magnificent athlete. I love you." There's all sorts of things you could say. And it all sounds rather nice. "I love you because of all those things." But the issue is, what happens when things change? What if the looks change slightly over the years? This happens sometimes. Yeah, the looks slightly vary. And hypothetically. And so the person's not quite the same as what they were when you first met them. Or what if their athletic abilities diminish? Now, I played tennis for the first time last Easter in 3 years. And I discovered that my athletic abilities have diminished, definitely. I was playing against my nephew, and I don't know what happened, but he just kept on acing me, and the spirit was willing, but the flesh was very weak. So love because has its deficiencies. But there's a third sort of love, which is love full stop. "I will love you," full stop. And folks, the love demonstrated to us by Jesus in his death on the cross is love, full stop. It's an unconditional, sacrificial, agape love that Jonathan mentioned last week. That's the love of God we're talking about today. Love, full stop. Just recently, I reread a book by a Scottish author called Ernest Gordon that was called, he wrote a book called Miracle on the River Kwai. And some of you may have, many years ago, there was a film called Bridge Over the River Kwai. And it was about a major construction project that was undertaken by the Japanese during World War II through very inhospitable and difficult terrain. And the Japanese decided for strategic reasons during the war to build this railway linking Burma and Thailand. And they basically had access to a whole lot of slave labour because of the war, including a whole bunch of prisoners of war. And Ernest Gordon was a Scottish captain who was captured the fall of Singapore, and he became a prisoner of war for 3 years. And he was put onto that, amongst many other people, to build this very difficult railway construction project through very extreme conditions. And the conditions were extreme. People were fed absolute rations. There was no real medical support. It was slave labour. And the conditions in the prisoner of war camp deteriorated to such a degree that basically it became everyone for themselves. People were just trying to survive. People were just trying to get through the day. And so humanity just sunk to this terrible depth. And you may say, well, where is God's love in a circumstance like that? How do you see God's love? Well, a couple of key things happened which had a profound impact upon the people in that prisoner of war camp, including Ernest Gordon. On one particular occasion, a work party had gone out working all day, probably 10 or 12 hours, and they had a whole bunch of shovels. And when they returned from their work party, the Japanese guard did a count, and he determined that there was a shovel missing. So he lined up the work party and became increasingly angry and said that someone's got to own up to this missing shovel. And then he started to get so angry that he threatened to kill them, kill the whole lot, if the missing shovel wasn't made available. And in the midst of this incredible tense situation, a prisoner of war stood forward, stepped up, and said, "I took the shovel." The Japanese guard was so angry and retaliated and basically killed the bloke right there and then in front of them all, killed him. A few hours later, they did another count and discovered there wasn't a shovel missing at all. Not a shovel missing. But that man had stood up and sacrificed himself on behalf of the whole group. Remember when Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this," than he laid down his life for his friends. When the story of that went through that camp, it just started to change people. And people started to look out for each other because they'd seen love demonstrated in action. A profound, sacrificial, no strings attached love. And Ernest Gordon himself got very sick and he was taken to the hospital area, which they used to call the death camp, because no one ever really came out of there because there was no decent medication. And two other soldiers basically gave up their rations to enable him to get through, and he managed to survive the war. He went into that war being an agnostic, and he came out, ended up being a pastor, Presbyterian pastor in Princeton, in the United States. But his life was never the same again. And for many people in that prison of war camp, their life was never the same again, because initially they had seen the depths of depravity that people can sink to, survival of the fittest. But then they saw love in action, sacrificial love, which transforms you, which affects your heart, because you're naturally structured to be loved and to love. And when you see sacrificial love in action, it does something to you. It affects the very core of your being. So God has demonstrated his love for us, his sacrificial, no strings attached, love, full stop type of love. And that Jesus, while we're still sinners, died for us. God's love in action. Now you may say to me, "Mark, well that's all fine, but," and listening to what Jonathan had to say last week about loving other people, you know, I feel as if I've only got a limited supply of love to give. I feel as if I've got just a certain reservoir of love. And there's nothing more left, nothing left in the tank. Well, I've got to say, welcome to the human race. Because within ourselves, we do have limited supplies. But the great truth of the gospel is that God has reached out to us in his son, Jesus. And we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, God's hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if you want to seek love, don't look inward, look outward. Don't look to yourself, look to Jesus. He is the source of love. And the Holy Spirit has poured out his love into our hearts. What a great blessing that is. What a great liberation that is, that we don't have to look inward and don't have to try and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but God has intervened. He has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And folks, if you're feeling exhausted today spiritually and you wonder how you're going to get through, well, let me tell you, folks, the great first thing is to realize the deficiencies you're in, to realize your need, that you need to be filled afresh. And God's promise is he wants to give you the gift of love. He wants to pour out his love into your hearts by his Spirit. Because God is the source of love. God is love. And God has demonstrated his love to us in Jesus. And his love is available to each one of us here. Not just in this room, but I'm focusing my attention to people who are in this room and listening to the podcast. God's love is available to us today. To open up and receive, because God has promised to pour out his love into our hearts. Amen? So open up your arms to him. Open up your hearts. Receive from him this day. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that your Spirit, the Spirit of love, would fall upon us afresh. And even if we've heard a message like this many times, I pray, dear Lord, that you'll just strip away the veneer of hardness that we can put up, and that we might have soft, pliable hearts to receive your love afresh. This day, I ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.